Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We are going to talk about, in the from this point on in the program, about a question. It's so important because you've been listening to prophecies and the visions and things that are just coming in quickly. It's important now to know, because once you become really religious, you pretty much don't listen to anything anymore because you think you've got all the answers. And that's it's real bad. It's not good to become religious. It's important to stay relational and in a relationship with God and his folks and that type of thing. But religion, just people just shut down. As soon as you start mentioning a scripture, they just shut down and go, I got all that. And it becomes an unteachable spirit. You know, what's an example of that? Okay, Jesus talking to the Pharisees.
Perfect example.
The Word himself. I mean, think about it. He is the Word. He's not only speaking the Word out of his mouth, and they're writing it down and we're reading it today, but they're looking at the Word made flesh, and they're calling the religious people who are held captive by a religious spirit. They're looking at the Word, and they're calling Jesus. They're calling the Word Satan, right?
Yeah.
They call Jesus. Dear Lord, help me. Help me never. They looked at him and they called him Satan. And that's when he started talking about, come on, how could Satan drive out Satan? And he says, any kingdom divided, every kingdom, every household divided will fall. In other words, he's saying, Satan's not going to be divided against himself in the context of building his kingdom. And so in the context of that as well, that when you hear about America being divided, understand divide and conquer. So we don't want to be divided as a nation. We want to come together. And as we were talking about earlier, is this Alinsky methodology, you know, being organized as a nation, and we're being divided, as Dr. Ben Carson said, wedges are being driven between us. We've got to come together as a people. You know, it doesn't matter what happens with Washington, D.C., because that's only 530 folks. We're over 300 million people. We got to start having intellectual conversations about what's happening in life. What do we think? We don't need just to look at the some sort of one form of media and just believe everything that you hear. Don't check any sources. Don't understand, you know, what's the context of that, and then you know, what does God say about this? And then, you know, overlay it with what does God say, and then talk about it, and to build relationships with people in your community that are like-minded. And that's what will bring us out. That's what will bring us out of this, is when the people of America, the church in America, but the people in America, you know, part of healing people is understanding and hearing them. And if you don't take any time to build relationships and have and know what they're talking about, you know, understand their viewpoints, be well read, or today you can just so many different ways that you can gain knowledge and talk with someone. But just and think about learning many things. Don't only learn, you know, how your PS2 works or your Xbox 2 works or your cable plan works or how you browse the internet. Find out things about what's going on. I don't know how laws are made. You know, find out how America was founded. Go to VFNTV and listen to the segments or watch the segments on The Torch. I mean, come on now. Think about it. How America got here and how do we stay here? That's sitting there waiting for you to find out how powerful that America was, a manifestation of a people who had a relationship with God, but they did not have the Word of God. But once the Word of God got into their life and their heart, religion came after them and they had to run to a land called America, which eventually became the United States of America. And you can find that on VFN TV. Go to the VFN Torch, America, how we got here and how do we stay here. And you'd be really surprised. And get in the Word of God, you know, abide with the Lord. So the big question is, with all these things going on, who is your God? I know who you say God is. I mean, even demons know who Jesus is, and they tremble. But who is your God? You think, well, why would you even ask that question? If John can tell you, you know, going from door to door, right?
Oh, yeah.
And talking to people, what was it like?
When people have, it's been a period of time where I was going door to door and witnessing and sharing the love of God, and had a chance to really survey Americans, And you'll be surprised, or maybe not be surprised, I mean, I wasn't, that many people have a lot of false gods. And they have a huge spirit of religion where they think that they can have a relationship with God and have a relationship with sin at the same time. And it just doesn't matter. You know, it does matter. It matters how we live, and it matters who is our God. Because we were meant, we were designed by God to worship. And if you don't worship God, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, if he's not your God, you will bow down to something else.
Right.
People are bowing down to money, to their jobs, to their family members. I mean, I saw where people were literally, you say, worship children. Yes, they worship children. Their life revolves around children. Their monies, their vacations, their gifts, their time, everything is children worship.
But the biggest aspect of all of that ties to worship of self.
Yes.
Because the reason why they worship a child is because that's what they want.
Yeah.
That's what they want, because they want that child to do the same for them.
To worship them back.
And they're greatly devastated when the child does. Don't you understand? I worshipped you for 18 years. It's like, I know, it's kind of freaky.
What's your problem? Yeah. It's you. Right. It's you.
Yeah, yeah. And so, and it's true. When we come back from this break, I want to be able to begin to talk to you about what the scripture says about this, because Paul writes to Timothy, his spiritual son, to be able to reveal, you know, instruct the church there. He says, listen, he said, some people there, they've literally denied the faith and are worse than unbelievers. And he said, I want you to instruct the church of this. And it's because of missing who God is. We're going to talk right into, you know, who is your God? Because Paul said something when he's writing to Timothy. You can read about it in 1 Timothy chapter 5. But he says, you know, people have denied the faith and they're worse than unbelievers. But yeah, he told him, this is an instruction, Timothy, I want you to share with the church.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not, this whole chapter is about talking to how we should react to each other and treat each other. We're supposed to, as we're brothers and sisters and an older man in your fellowship, that you should honor him as a father. Even if you are their leader, you should, there's a way to tell people things so you can still honor them. You know, I should honor everybody that way. Even if they're younger than you, should honor them. And, then also treat your brothers and sisters, you know, as a brother and sister, and your sister with purity, and treat the older women as mothers. And he talks about widows and different things like that. But this is what I want to talk about here, because, I mean, it really rocks a lot of doctrines right here. It really rocks a lot of doctrines. Doctrines, by the way, are things that people say, this is how it is.
Mm.
This is how things are. And sometimes we can get off on our doctrine, you know, and, you know, we have to pray continually, dear Lord, that it's like John Bevere said in his book, The Fear of the Lord. He said, you know, deception's like a veil over your eyes, like a veil. And the longer you're deceived, the thicker the veil gets, the harder it is to convince you what you're doing is wrong.
Yeah.
That's why you need to have relationships in your life. That's why you want people be able to look at you and go, what? You
know, exactly. What?
So it's a scripture. This is out of the Bible. This is 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. And after he talked about it, he says this. He says, and this is important right now, because we're looking at a light perspective of what's going on right now, because you see where more than 50% of the country, if not more now, are on the government or are receiving some sort of government support, and they're pushing for more. They're pushing. They want the whole nation to be taken care of by the government. This is what the leaders are wanting. A lot of the leaders are wanting. And it's like, so if that means I don't have to do anything, if this is the mindset that people are having, you mean if we go this way that I won't have to actually work, you'll take care of my family, I won't have to take care of my family? I mean, that's what they're really saying. They're saying, listen, you'll be taken care of. It's like, why would that be, somebody says, why would that be a wrong thing? Well, it depends who your God is. And it's not the fact that you may, you know, get an entitlement, or you may get some sort of help with your food. It has nothing to do. I'm talking about that. I'm talking about, what is the reason? Who is your God? You know, who is your God? And in 1 Timothy 5, chapter 8, he says, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially their own household, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially their own household, has denied the faith and they're worse than an unbeliever. So you have an unbeliever. Unbelievers are not going to heaven. They're not saved. God loves them and he wants them to believe. So whatever level of unbeliever that person is, the outcome is still the same. Mm-hmm. But now this is an instruction going to the church, and he says, you know, if you don't take care of your relatives and especially take care of your own household, you have denied the faith. And without faith, it's impossible to even know God or please God. You've denied the faith, and you're worse than an unbeliever. And so it's like, whoa. And it's like, and you think about that, and you say, well, so you can see then if people are already saying, listen, you will take care of my household, you'll take care of my family, I don't have to take care of them, and I can still say I'm a Christian, I can still say everything God is my God, that even though maybe government becomes my God, maybe this strategy becomes my God, maybe money becomes my God. And I was like, oh my goodness, think of the strategy then. Then if I turn my back on my own family and don't take care of them, if I don't even think about responsibilities in life and take care of those, it's not the works of me doing that. It's the fact that it's not in me to do it. Mm. It means that what's inside of me, that's my fruit. Because if I had faith, if I operate in the faith and follow Jesus, I practice taking care of folks. You want to help people out. But you start, you know, that begins at home. That begins with your family. It begins with your household. That's what he's saying. And so you can see, so he says, they've denied the faith and they're worse than an unbeliever. So now imagine the Lucifer's strategy, Satan's strategy here is, okay, we got to hurry up and get all these people who have denied the faith, even though they claim to be a Christian, even though they're worse than an unbeliever and they don't even know it. We got to quickly help take care of them, because if not, they may wake up and start taking care of their own household. Mm-hmm. They may wake up and start taking care of their relatives. They may begin to work and get a job. I mean, think about it. They may wake up in time and quit sleeping and slumbering and playing video games and browsing the internet and getting the next mobile phone device. They may actually go out and buy some food themselves from their own hard labor. And I'm not talking about anybody that's getting any help. Help is wonderful from any source, but who is your God? And if you're not providing for your own household, if you're not doing something for your household to take care, do something to take care of your household, and you're calling yourself a Christian, he said, listen, right here, this is very important to understand. Who are you serving? Who is your God? Because we're going to talk about what Jesus said about this as well. But this is important because right now the enemy's wanting to come in and say, listen, you won't have to take care of your family. They're telling people right now that you can go to your 26 years old and your parents will take care of you. You're not going to even have to get no insurance. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're 26 years old. Get a job. Get off your parents' insurance policy. I mean, people used to only live till they're 35 or 40. I mean, mm-hmm. You're half of that. And they're just not wanting anybody to grow up. They're wanting to continue this perpetual adolescence. And they're, why would you feed into that? Because if you don't practice what you believe, then you don't believe what you say you believe. Because you're known by your fruit. You're known by your fruit. You cannot make money your God and also claim honestly that God is your God, period. Mm-hmm. You just can't do that. And this is what poor is, just so you know, because it's America's poorest person in America is richer than 70% of the entire globe population, over 7 billion people. We're the top 1% of the entire world's wealth. All of America, if you put it together, we're the top 1%. So we have to understand what is poor, because we don't really understand what poor is. And I look at Proverbs, you know, Proverbs chapter 24 kind of helps us out, because you got a lot of people going, yeah, I'm struggling. It's like, what, which car payment? That car payment you're having problems with? This other car payment, or that fifth TV, or that cable package? You know, or these, you know, double stuffed Oreos thing. Like, what's the issue here? And so if I look at Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30, he says, this is Solomon, one of the wisest men that ever walked the face of the earth outside of Jesus Christ. And he's saying there, I'm reading out of the NIV first. He says, I went past the field of a sluggard. He's saying he's going past the field of a sluggard. And you have to also understand that imagine an agricultural society, because that's truly what everything is. It's just 3% is growing the food for the 98% in America.
2%.
2% is growing it for the 98%. Wow. But it's still, you know, when you go by the produce aisle, supposedly that came out of the ground. You don't know anymore.
Yeah.
But that's where things come from. And so imagine that, because if everything stopped all of a sudden, you'd have to look to the ground yourself and plant the seeds yourself. And it wouldn't be wrong. You're just bypassing the middleman and you're working. It's called working.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And so he's passing a field, this wise man, Solomon. He says, I went past a field of a sluggard. And you think about a sluggard. You know, I think about a slug. I think about this. I was out feeding my dog, you know, and he's the same thing every day. Isn't that amazing? He does. He kind of, you know, he's like, okay, I'll eat it. I'm starving. There's a slimy sluggard thing that was just tries to climb up into where his food is. And it's like, I don't, you know, what is this thing? I don't even know what it is, but it's just like slimy and it's just sucked to the container, and I'm trying to knock it off, and I'm thinking, like, what is your purpose in life? You know, what are you doing? But it was aggressive. It was just sucking on that thing, you know? And I'm talking about, you know, there's some people that have this sluggard spirit. They just suck you dry. They suck. Is there a resource there? They suck it up. Another one there? They suck it up there. And he says, I went past the field of a sluggard, past the vineyard of someone who had no sense. This is what Solomon's talking about. So they didn't have any sense. Thorns had come up everywhere, and the ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. Understand the purpose of stone walls. That's where your walls are up, and it keeps boundaries, but it also keeps your herd in. You know, whether it's sheep or whether it's cow, whatever it is, because it's agriculture. That's like saying your pantry's broken down. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's agricultural type society. And he said, I applied my heart to what I observed, and I learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. I mean, think about this. This is so important, because right now, this is what God told Cain. He told Cain, he says, sin is crouching at your door, and it's seeking to devour you. Do what's right. And right now, this is what's crouching at the door of America. And you heard on an earlier program how God even spoke to a 12-year-old young man about this. Poverty is waiting. Mm-hmm. It's crouching at the door. He says, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. It'll just overtake you. I'm going to read from the Message Bible, because I think the Message Bible too. Let's see what the same thing. And the Message Bible says, one day I walked by a field of an old lazy bones, you know, of a lazy bones. Think about it. This is the word of God. One day I walked past the field of a lazy bones, and then I passed the vineyard of a lout. Look it up. They were overgrown with weeds thick and thistles, and the fence was broken down. And that just bugs you. It should bug you when things are not in order and the fence is broken down. I mean, just pick the board up and lean something against it where it's the pickets are lined up, or the chain is picked up. I mean, it's just, you know, do sweep the dirt. Do something that you're showing God that I am doing my best to keep this place up. Because if you're faithful over the few things, God will make you faithful over many. And he said, but I noticed that the fence was torn down. It was broken down. He says, and I took a long look and I pondered what I saw. The field was preaching to me a sermon and a lesson. Now, you can look at this. And right now you can look at America and it's just shouting a sermon to us. I mean, it's preaching to you. Right? It's happening right where people are running to the government to be able to not have to provide for their families, not have to provide for their health care, not have to provide for their food, not have to provide for their defense. Not have to provide for anything. I just want to sit here like a slugger. Mm. I want to watch my programs. I want to browse the internet. I want to take snapshots of my food and send it out to my four folks on my Facebook. And then he said this. He says, and this Phil, this man's life, preached a sermon to me. And he said, now listen, this is what he heard. A nap here, a nap there. a day off here and a day off there. Sit back, take it easy. Do you know what comes next, he says? Just this. You can look forward to a dirt poor life with poverty as a permanent house guest. This is the word of God. This is Proverbs 24, 30 through 34. So he's saying, listen, this is the outcome, and we're about at the brink from what God is really showing to us and speaking to us is that it's crouching, this poverty. It's just waiting there to be able to pounce on America. It's waiting there at a moment's notice to be able to pounce on. I don't know how much time we have before the break.
About 4 minutes.
Okay, we got to hear this. I want you to hear it now in the New Living Testament. Proverbs 24, 30. I want to read it one more time. This is out of the New Living Testament. He says, I walk by the fence of a lazy person, the vineyard of the one who had no sense. I saw that it was overgrown with needles. It was covered with weeds, and the wall was broken down. Then, as I looked and thought about it, I learned this lesson. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit, and scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. The amazing thing to me is how people are shocked when somebody comes after their car. They're shocked when somebody takes their big screen television. They're shocked. They didn't do nothing. They didn't work.
Right.
Sitting in your mama's house at 30 years old. Grow up, boy. Get you a job. Let me tell you what poverty is. This is poverty, just so you know what poverty is. Poverty is this mother who has three children, and she works her fingers to the bones, and she gets paid not enough to be able to make it, and she needs help. That's somebody who's poor. Somebody who sits on their butt all week long and plays video games and watches TV is a sluggard. That's not a poor person. That's a sluggard. That's somebody who needs to get a job. This woman who worked herself hard, and she's underpaid, and many people are underpaid. They don't make enough money to be able to make ends meet, but they work very hard. And that person would be considered poor, and they need help. But the person who didn't do anything all week long, but just watched television or play with the internet or, you know, just sat on their butt watching ESPN, that's a sluggard, sir. That is not a poor person. And no, the government doesn't need to take care of you. And no, by the way, the church doesn't need to take care of you. You need to get a job. And we have to get this, because if we don't get this, Paul was sitting here right here. He said, listen, you know, that there's people that if you're supposed to take care of your relatives and especially your household, and people have not done this. And he said, these guys have turned away from the faith. They have turned away from the faith, and they're worse than an unbeliever, which gives us an impression of understanding how God looks at that, because God's designed us to work. I mean, everything doesn't always work out all right, but work, you know, you might not get paid enough to make ends meet, but work. We're talking about, you know, who is your God? Not who do you say he is, but who really is he? And it's important because there was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus, and he said, listen, what do I need to do to be saved? And he's talking to God in the flesh. He's talking to Emmanuel, the Son of God. And Jesus tells him a few things, and he goes, well, I've done that. And Jesus says, one more thing. Is God money in your life? This is what he said. He said, take all your possessions, sell them or give them to the poor. And he said he walked away sad because he had many things. He turned his back. He says what he was saying was, what this says is, up until that point, he thought God was his God. And he was very religious. And this man did everything pretty well. But if it was true, God just didn't call him a liar. So he was being very religious. But when it came time to his personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and he found out he was going to have to give up his God, and his particular God was money, was what came with wealth. And Jesus said, you're going to have to give that up. What he was saying is, you got to make up your mind, am I God or is that God? And for his case, his money was God. His wealth was God, because he said he walked away. He walked away from Jesus, from God. Imagine the universe looking down like, no, you're not. Hmm. The one whose streets are paved with gold, are you really going to walk away because you got a couple shekels in your pocket? 97% of the church, 97% of the church, the regular church attenders attend every 2 weeks, according to George Barna, 97% are robbing from God. And what really brought this up in so many different ways is the fact that I was listening to somebody that has some great financial advice for finances. And he's, I mean, it's great stuff, good stuff. I'm a Christian man and all that. But you have to understand, I mean, the way that he presented the perspective when I was listening to him was that God's not involved in the affairs of life, and he's not the one that provides the blessing, and he's not Jehovah Jireh, your provider, and he's not the one that throws up in the windows of heaven to provide you the things that you have. And he is. God is God of the universe. He is the one that provides for you. Somebody says, well, you know, I've been throwing my finger up at God for years, and I ain't. You know, I'm still got stuff. And it says, because he's God is loving and merciful. He's loving and kind. It rains on the just and the unjust. But things come from, air comes from, strength comes from, increase comes from, seed that grows out of the ground comes from, the universe comes from. It all comes from God. And when we honor God in this way and acknowledge him, we do that by giving him a part of our first fruits. And what that does, I mean, he don't need it, but it shows that your heart is right. Because it's where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. And it shows that God's money's not your God, that God, you're saying God is God. God's the one that provided this for me. If 97%, think about it, 97% is, you think about, I mean, rob God, what are you talking about? Look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 9 through 12. He says, you're under a curse, the whole nation, because you're robbing God. Okay, so if you look at America right now today, and you have a biblical perspective, and you're seeing what's going on, we're printing money that's coming, you know, just nonstop printing money, we're devaluing our dollar, we're borrowing money from China. Dr. Ben Carson says this December, we will lose the currency, the IMF currency, we'll lose it this December, by the way.
Oh, wow. Mm.
And we'll no longer be the currency you have to trade with, which puts us into deep poverty overnight, that's according to Ben Carson is talking about potentially. And so a whole nation could be under a curse because the church is robbing from God. Mm-hmm. God's people is robbing from God. And it looks like it pretty much. I mean, think about this. You have people going to Washington, D.C. protesting. I mean, think what this looks like in the eyes of God. And they're saying the government is taxing me too much. Right. And a lot of these guys profess to be mm-hmm. Christians and all that. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you're robbing from God. And you think, how do you rob from God? He says a little bit further. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in the house. Test me in this and see that I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't even contain. I will prevent your job from being lost. I will prevent the pest from devouring your crops and the vine in the field from dropping its fruit. And people will call you blessed. And so you think about this, that so robbing from God is not giving to God what's his, and it's really not necessarily giving to God as much as saying you're God. That's what it's saying. It's your, I mean, he wants you. He don't want your things or your stuff. He wants your heart. And he said to this rich young ruler, I want your heart. And he thought God wanted his money. But God said to him through his son, he said, right now, money's your God. And he actually walked away. If you found out that you really had to honor God, like he says in his word, would you walk away from him? Maybe you already have. 97%. So imagine this. You're going to Washington, D.C., and you're protesting and saying, you're robbing from me. I mean, think about it. You're looking, you've got your little signs up and everything. You're robbing from me because they're taxing you more. And by the way, and what we're about to see happen in America is the greatest taxation probably America has ever seen in its history about to hit us if we don't repent. And so they're saying, you're taxing me. You're robbing from me. People are actually saying, the government's robbing from me. At the same time, you're robbing from God. And it's like, wait a minute. You're robbing me, and I'm robbing God. Maybe if I honor God, then the government won't rob me. Because in Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 5, he says that the government is his servant. He can do what he wants to with the government. If you would have heard earlier about Josiah, and you got to hear this prophetic word, it's Josiah, it's Jehoiakim, and it's Zedekiah. And we are in the season right now of Jehoiakim, and Jehoiakim's note about high taxation, but the reason why Jehoiakim came to pass is because God's people were in rebellion, and they were actually not acknowledging mm-hmm. him as God. And they could have repented during that time, but they didn't. Mm-hmm. And what came next? Zedekiah. Now, Jehoiakim was sitting there, and this is the sons of Josiah, or the son of Josiah, but Jehoiakim thought he could work a deal out with Egypt. Isn't it interesting? The first thing we did during this current administration was go straight to Cairo and give a Muslim Brotherhood empowerment. And now they're throwing the Muslim Brotherhood out, but we have them all in.
Sure.
Reports are, according to Congressman Michelle Bachmann, in our own system. And but just like Jehoiakim, that's like a Jehoiakim sign. And then what he did to be able to satisfy the people that were not for God's people was to tax God's people. And so we're taxes are, I mean, when the Supreme Court judge, chief judge, says this is a tax, you think about it, if you really understand biblical perspective, he said, this is Jehoiakim, brother. You didn't listen when you were taught to. This is Jehoiakim. And so, which means a leader that's going to bring high taxation. They called it just health care, but they're calling it a tax. And so it passes. This is how the health care passes. But what comes after Jehoiakim is Zedekiah, the next leader, who actually not only has a deal going with Egypt, but he brings God's people into Babylonian captivity. In other words, if we don't repent, we're going to be under, just like you heard Isaiah's dream and you heard about with Derek Grice's a prophetic dream and the things that we've been sharing, it doesn't just keep going like this. It doesn't keep going like this. The question is, who is your God? Who is your God? And if you're not honoring God, and if you're thinking, I'm not honoring God because as I'm not connected anywhere, that doesn't mean anything. First of all, if God's told you to get rightly related to the body of Christ, that's God talking to you, and that alone is showing that you're in rebellion to God. But you find a place, but you get 10 oranges until you find this place God has for you. You can take that 10th orange and go give it to somebody outside of yourself who needs that orange. Find somebody to give it outside of yourself. Begin to honor God with the first fruits of your life. Truly, this is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. He says, no one, think about it. He said, no one, and I'm closing with this, no one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus told the rich young ruler that, and he walked away. This is my question to you. Are you going to walk away while this evil, evil principality is seeking and about to lurch on this nation and put us into deep captivity and bondage because we will not honor God? Are we going to break out of that 97% and say, you know what, God, before I do anything, everything you give me, the first fruits, the first 10% is yours, and I'm going to be known as a giver. I know that you're God, and you will take care of me. And no matter what happens to those 530 folks in Washington, D.C., even if America doesn't stand, you will stand because the kingdom of God is forever. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.